going to white balance.
Oh, yeah, white balance. I will. I may sing.
Don't do it.
Okay. Even you, huh? Say, Daddy, Jesus was a king. You going to act silly or you going to practice it? We're about to practice it for the microphones.
Anyway. Daddy, Jesus was a king.
That's right, Ronnie. If you get tickled, we'll never get through this. Don't bite your hand. Don't put your hand on your mouth.
I'm going to have to do this.
No.
Get my cheeks.
No, your breath's bad, too, so turn around. Face the camera. You're asphyxiating me. You'll do well. You don't have to look at the camera. You look at Daddy. I'll have the Bible, and you put your hand on the Bible, and your other hand just on my shoulder here. Come up a little bit.
Okay. I'd rather it be around.
No, put it right there on my shoulder. Okay. Now read the scripture. Just forget what they're doing.
And she brought forth her first.
Louder. Yeah.
You interrupted me, Dad.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Daddy, Jesus was a king.
That's right, Ronnie. The King of Kings was born in a manger. If you start that grinning, we're going to be in trouble. I'll have to slap you cross-eyed right in the middle of the program. You ready? That's right, Ronnie. The King of Kings was born in a manger. Get up here a little bit, sonny. I'm breaking my neck to look at you. Step up here just a little bit. Right here. Now, look at the Bible. Look at me or the Bible. You don't have to look at the camera. But don't be timid. Look at me now.
Let's get the smile out of
you. I'm not smiling. I'm a nervous wreck. So, okay, you ready?
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Daddy, I'm getting tickled.
I'll beat you in the back room. Then you won't be able to get a grin on your face.
Come here, let me fix you again.
This is going to be interesting.
You'll do good. You're both good.
We'll do good.
I won't laugh.
No, you won't laugh.
After you do it a few times and you're getting hot, you'll say, forget this laughing business. Let's get over it.
Let's do it, because we'll have to stand in here 500 hours if you grin like a rabbit in a briar patch. Okay, you ready?
I gotta get the smile out of me.
Bite your lip.
It looks out of focus on the monitor.
Okay.
Wait.
Remember, we're talking about Jesus dying on the cross.
Yeah. I know, Dad.
Yeah, you remember when we had the Lord's Supper and you got so upset?
When?
Way back when you had the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you think about how he suffered on the cross. We've got to do this because we're going to be telling people about Jesus, okay?
Hey, am I grinning?
No, you're not grinning. It's all right to look pleasant, though.
Like this?
It's all right to look pleasant.
All right, we're going to have to get you kind of close together.
Okay.
We don't need all the space between you, so.
Come on.
You want to stand up?
Well, Dad, you want to push me over here?
All right. Come forward a little.
I may not be able to look directly
at room for them in the inn. Daddy, Jesus was a king.
That's right, Ronnie. The King of Kings was born in a manger.
The angels knew it.
Oh, I wasn't through. I was just...
Dad, why do you keep on looking at me? Stop.
Okay, go ahead.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Daddy, Jesus was a king.
That's right, Ronnie. The King of Kings was born in a manger. But today he sits at the right hand of God in heaven. Who would have thought that small child... I didn't get it. Yeah, I'm still... You did good, son. You'll have to...
Dad, you...
Yeah, I blew it. There's no question.
God, Dad, you blew everything.
You haven't done one of these with me before. It takes me about 10 takes just to get the feel.
Well, you did last year. You go pluh and everything.
Yeah, okay. Let's get ready. I'm ready now.
Yeah.
Paulette and I went over this. Yeah, my blousing.
Yeah. Oops. Okay. All right, now
be sure to kind of lean.
Yeah,
forward.
I need to sit up. I look bad sitting back. Yeah. Yeah, let me get up.
Oh, that looks great. Yeah. Because that separates you from the chair there.
Okay.
Okay, get you a little bit closer to Ron. That's
good. Okay.
Getting close to your dad.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in him. Daddy, Jesus was a king.
That's right, Ronnie. The King of Kings was born in a manger. But today he's at the right hand of God in heaven. Who would have thought that small child would grow up to die on a cross for the sins of the world?
The angels knew it.
That's right. The angels knew it when they sung, they filled the heaven with singing. We're getting there.
Fun times on Woodcroft Drive. Amen. We're going to try this again 30 years later. Please stand in reverence for God's words. We read our scripture this morning. My son Reed's going to lead us this morning. Hopefully it'll go a little bit better than that video did. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We ask you to bless the word today, bless the families and the people that will hear this in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father, but he's Prince of Peace. I'm thankful for his shalom this morning. I'm thankful for that peace that passes all understanding. What does the word shalom mean, or peace? What does peace really mean? It is harmony and reconciliation based upon the completion of a transaction or a payment of debt. It is peace. It is satisfaction. That is what shalom means. But it's based upon the completion of a transaction or a payment of debt. I know that my Bible says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and that it is by grace we've been saved. That's what redemption means. It means to be bought with a price. I'm thankful that that baby that was born in a manger would transition to a cross and pay for my sins. Amen. It's not how good I am. It's about how good God is. Somebody say amen this morning. And once you come to the understanding of who God is, you can experience true and authentic peace. And it's my prayer for you this season that you and I and our families, that we experience true shalom, peace and rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Some of you just need to rest this season, amen? You're trying to do everything in 24 hours, and you need to understand that it's God's job to get the work done. It's your job to rest in him. Somebody say amen. I heard a story of a little girl who climbed down to Santa's knee in the mall and asked him. She said, Santa, are you a politician? And he said, no, why? And she said, because you always offer stuff that you don't deliver. I'm telling you, we live in a world that's in desperate need of peace. We live in a world that's in need of the person of peace, and his name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. In him are all things, and all things are found in him, and through him miracles happen. Wonders are made real through the man, Jesus Christ. The angels would rejoice in Luke chapter 2 when you hear the story of our Savior's birth, and it would, they would say, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill to all men. The first time we hear of this shalom is in the book of Judges, and that's where his name would come to be known as Jehovah Shalom. They were without a king during that time. Israel was in exile, and all kinds of things were going on. There was disunity and disagreement and no leadership. God raised up Gideon. The book of Judges says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Kind of reminds you of the United States of America. Amen? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, but they built an altar, and there God would be forever known as Jehovah Shalom. So we need peace this Christmas season. And the names of God that I've mentioned, just a few of them, they are very important. To understand God is not just Pele, wonderful, not just Yavatz, counselor, not just mighty God or everlasting Father or Abba Father. To understand God as Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom, we must understand the importance of a name. How many of you wanted to name your kid Judas? Hopefully there's nobody visiting named Judas today. I ruin that if there is. But there are names that have certain meanings, and that there are names we cling to, and then there's names that we stay away from. And the names of God are important. He is Prince of Peace. What do people think of when they hear your name? Do they think peaceful or painful? Do they think gracious or gossip? Do they think generous or greedy? Do they think joy or jerk? Do they think kind or repulsive? What do people think of when they hear your name? As Christians, we ought to want to walk in accordance to Scripture. We ought to want to love people and serve people and forgive people and not hold grudges and to let the past be the past and to operate as an agent of peace. Amen? Because we've accepted the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I choose this morning to call him Prince of Peace. He is my Prince of Peace. Let me describe the peace offered to us through a baby born over 2,000 years ago. First, this morning, the grace of peace. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it's by grace we've been saved. You'll never experience authentic and genuine peace if you haven't accepted the unmerited, undeserved favor of God's grace. Grace says no matter how many times you've blown it, you get a second chance. Somebody say amen. Grace says it's not how good you are, it's how good God is. Amen. Grace says I'm too busy looking at my own problems and my own struggles to judge somebody else. Amen. Grace has the ability to look past the flesh on someone and look to their heart as the Father does. And if you can do that, and you can not just receive his grace, if you can in turn give grace to people who need it, you'll experience a peace that passes all understanding from the Prince of Peace. The grace of peace was on a virgin teenager when she had an encounter with an angel. Her name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. The grace of peace was on Joseph as he trusted God and served his family faithfully under the strangest of circumstances. The grace of peace was on those astrologers, those wise men that traveled by faith following the stars. The grace of peace was on our Savior as Herod tried to kill him but couldn't. The grace of peace is the ability to move forward with God in a gentle way regardless of circumstances. I declare the grace of peace on you this morning. The grace of peace. Psalms 85 verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And I heard a pastor tell it like this: in the courts of heaven, truth and mercy had a meeting. And many of you are gifted in truth, and some of you are gifted in mercy. But this is, they had a meeting in the courts of heaven, and truth said they are sinners, they don't deserve to be saved, and they should not live in peace. Truth even quoted Scripture. Truth quoted Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is no peace, says God, to the wicked. But then mercy spoke up and said, but the Prince of Peace wants to save them. Look at Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And mercy continued to speak to the truth and said, having been made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Mercy went on to say, Ephesians 2:14, that he is our peace. And then in Romans, mercy would say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So mercy and truth had a meeting, and mercy won. Mercy will always win. His mercy, the Bible says, endures forever. A church of mercy will never be without purpose. I'm telling you, it's my prayer for this church Everybody leaves their mark, and I don't know how long I have to leave my mark, one day, 1 year, 100 years, 10 years, but if I leave a mark, it better be grace, mercy, and service, amen? That's what I want to leave, the ability to show grace, to operate in mercy, and to serve people who need a touch from Jesus Christ. All people, not just some people, amen? Not just the right kind of people, amen? Not just the kind of people we're comfortable with. Everybody say all people. That's who we're after. So it's the grace of peace. Jesus gave that kiss of peace at this meeting in the courts of heaven, and the result was love. And love manifested righteousness. That's what happens. When you show mercy and you operate in truth, then you get to be a part of His righteousness. Not your own righteousness, but His righteousness. So He's the grace of peace. But He's the governor of peace. Somebody say amen. He ought to be the Lord of your life. He ought to be preeminent. He ought to be number one. The definition of governor in the Bible is leader, ruler, chief, head administrator. I know his name is Jesus. It says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. So how could this baby come into a world where there'd be a ransom for His life moments after He was born, and He would be in exile, and religious people would spit on Him, and they'd put a crown of thorns on His head, and they would mock Him, and he was drawn to the outcasts and drawn to those that nobody wanted. The church couldn't stand Him. But He goes to the cross of Calvary, and He says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But 3 days later, in fulfillment with Old Testament prophecy, He gets up out of the grave victorious over death, the devil, and hell. And He came and He gives us back our dominion that was stolen in the Garden of Eden. And we're to walk with power and anointing from now until forevermore, because He is the governor of peace. He is the governor of your problems. He is the governor of your struggles. He is the governor of your sins. He is the governor of your loss. He is the government of your emotions. He governs every aspect of your life, even those that you don't understand. He is the governor. He is the leader. He is the chief administrator. When Jesus takes control of your life as governor, the peace comes. Where He governs, peace grows. Is He in charge of your heart this morning? Does He govern your life? The more I surrender to God, the more peace that I have. The more I try to keep control, I mess it up and I lack peace. I want to have peace in my life. I want you to have peace. But you can only obtain this peace if you know the Lord as Prince of Peace, as the governor of peace. Psalms 119 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Many people stay in drama because they are always offended. If you stay offended or you take up someone else's offense, you'll always be in drama. But if you stay in the Word of God, you'll quit being offended. If you stay in the Word, you'll quit being offended. If you stay in drama, you'll always be offended. Don't take up someone else's offense. Let me tell you, I tell people all the time, I do a fine job of getting myself in trouble, amen? I don't need your drama. I do a fine job of stirring up drama in my own life, amen? If we'll all just worry about our own drama, we'll have that peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because He's the governor. He's in charge. Realize you can't fix it. Your offense, your emotions, they can't fix it, but the governor can fix it. Amen? We need to learn to pray more. I hope 18's a year of prayer. Amen? I hope we come and we pray not just in the healing rooms like our faithful people who go there every week, but I pray that we become a praying church. Amen? That we pray. Because listen, we can't accomplish anything with plans and ideas and strategies and good preaching and excellent worship and awesome groups. But I'm telling you, if we'll pray and call down the governor in the midst of our season and in our moment, it'll be His job to raise up the church that He's called us to be. It'll be His job to draw sinners. It'll be His job to change the city of Chattanooga, because He is the leader. He is the chief administrator. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's our Christ. He's our conqueror. He is our covenant. He is our deliverer. He's our everlasting Father. He is the great I Am. He puts greatness on the inside of you. He has healing available for you today. He's indescribable. He's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His mercy endures forever. Mercy wins out. His love never fails. He loves those who've been oppressed. He gives power to the weak. He brings quiet when it's loud. Lord, he brings loudness when it's too quiet. He is God in all, through all, and will always reign forever and ever and ever. And it says in Isaiah 9 that the zeal of the Lord shall accomplish this. I'm telling you, I don't want to pastor a church without the zeal of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to pastor a church that doesn't operate in his power, that doesn't understand who's in charge or who's the governor. Isaiah 48 says this: oh, that you heed my commandments, then your peace will be like a river. Oh, he's the governor of peace, but there's also a guarantee of peace. A guarantee of peace. This is what it says in John chapter 14, verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. Peace, peace, I leave with you. I don't give it as the world gives. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced and said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we trust God, the guarantee of peace stands guard over all of our lives. We are guaranteed peace, the Bible says, in our sleep. How many of you have trouble sleeping sometimes? I'm telling you, shalom. I speak shalom over your life. I pray that this season you'll be able to sleep without taking a pill. Amen. I pray you'll be able to sleep and have the kind of sleep where God gives you dreams and visions and gives you encouragement, and you wake up feeling refreshed, wake up feeling like you've got a new lease on life. I pray that you'll receive that kind of peace. This is what his word says. It says in Psalms 4:8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. We're given peace for our worries, the Bible says. We are guaranteed peace in the armor of God with the shoes that we put on when we go to do battle with the enemy. We are given, number three, a gift of peace. A gift of peace. Excuse me, number four, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The gift of peace is the comfort he's offering all of us this morning. It's the spiritual comfort that he's offering us. God gave us peace in his Son the first Christmas. He is our peace, the Bible says. He gives us peace for protection during the storms of our life. The peace of God is our power against the enemy. When he attacks you, when he whispers in your ear and tells you you're a no good, nothing, never will be, never want to be, whatever. Let me tell you, the Bible says he gives you peace, amen. He gives you peace to do battle. The peace of God, Isaiah 52 says, is our fortune to share with other people. I'm telling you, we've got to be able to give other people peace. That's why it's important when they think of you, they think of peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of those of you who are saved. There's a gift of peace that God has offered us, a gift of peace. Peace is the forgotten gift. People need this peace this Christmas. They're hungry for this peace. You were bought with a price. You're called to abide in him and his word. I'm thankful that he supplies peace, that he's provided us peace, Romans 5, that he guides us with peace, that he comforts us with his peace, and glory to God, he offers us peace through his Son, Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better way to enjoy Christmas Eve than to give Jesus your life. If you want peace in your life, if you want the grace of peace, and you want to walk with that guarantee under the governorship of Jesus, then you've got to accept the free gift of peace. And that gift's available to you this morning. It's available to those of you watching online. It's available to those who'll be watching this later, that peace that passes all understanding. I challenge you, experience this peace. Allow God's Spirit to transform your life from the inside out. Be willing to be an agent of peace that offers peace to other people. Ah, he's our Prince of Peace. And as I said earlier, whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, God will bring you peace All you have to do is cry out to Jesus, and He will give you a shalom spirit that will help you enjoy this holiday season. So many people get depressed around the holidays. I'm praying you'll experience great joy this holiday season. I want to ask you to do something for me. If God has blessed you through our broadcast this year, would you consider making a year-end donation to Abba's House? You know, we pay to be on television. We're not on here because we're famous. It's an investment. And I had a person tell me out in the community just a few weeks ago that this is his church, that he doesn't go to church, but he watches this broadcast from home. And he even gave me a few $100 that I gave to our church. If God has blessed you, would you consider being a blessing to the ministry of Abba's House? We could surely use it, and every penny that you sow into this ministry will go in to get the gospel around the world. We love you. Merry Christmas, and we hope to see you soon.
Fully Alive, the 2019 Fresh Oil New Wine Conference is coming to Abba's House March 3rd through 6th. Host Pastor Ronnie Phillips leads a week of powerful speakers with Jensen Franklin, pastor of Free Chapel, Bishop Dale Bronner from Word of Faith Family Worship Cathedral, Ron Phillips, Pastor Emeritus of Abba's House, and morning sessions with Todd Zeiger, Paulette Phillips, Donnie Brannon, and Jacob King. Plus, new this year, afternoon breakout sessions for church leaders. See the complete schedule at fonw.com. Go online to register. Plan to join us in Chattanooga for Fully Alive, March 3rd through 6th at Abba's House. Thanks for joining us today. Come experience a service at Abba's House in person any Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Ronnie and our staff would love to meet you and help you live free and fully alive.